to the Center Circle Studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Bubble burst. One MLS team has pulled from the MLS's back tournament just hours before kickoff. We'll tell you who. The USL is getting ready to kick off the 2020 restart. A special format. We'll lay out the details of that. And Liverpool are the champions of England, but they are not the hottest team. We'll tell you who. Brody Scott joins me for World Soccer News, but we got to head down the tunnel now because standing by, we've got Enzo Martinez from the Charlotte Independents of the USL. The first half starts now, and this is My Three Subs.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Excited to be joined by Charlotte Independents attacker Enzo Martinez today. Enzo, thank you for joining us here on My Three Subs. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Charlotte Independents, winners of five in a row dating back to last season. You guys already got a game under your belt against Sporting Kansas City and everything. How were you guys feeling going into the season back in March? I feel like it's kind of like two seasons.
Yeah, of course. It's it was a weird time because we were getting ready. We played our first game. We're getting ready for the second game. We feel like we corrected a lot of the mistakes we made on the first one. Practice, we're looking great. And then, you know, it's Friday or Thursday night, they say, hey, hold on, guys, we might have to cancel this game or something. So, you know, everyone's thinking, especially me, okay, this is a 2-week thing, you know, maybe they give everyone a break for 2 weeks, we're back into it. You know, I never imagined it would turn out the way it did. And, you know, to get everyone back in shape and everything, it takes a lot. So I feel very blessed and very excited and very happy that we actually get to go back and play this year.
Back in March, and I think you hit it perfectly. You explained it better than pretty much anybody else could, Enzo, is the fact that we all thought this was going to be a very brief layoff. We'd be right back to action. But, you know, a couple of weeks go by, 3 weeks go by. You know, at what point is Mike Jeffries, your head coach, going, okay, we got to get a plan to make sure when we do come back that we haven't lost the games that we had in preseason and in that first match?
Right. Honestly, I don't know what he was thinking, but I'm pretty sure that was in the back of his mind, you know, right after he gave us those calls and those text messages on Thursday to stay put, you know. It was, you know, throughout the whole time, we were doing fun things with Cam, our trainer. He will send us, you know, weekly kind of things to do with the team, and we did a little competition from home, and we would send videos of workouts and things like that. So they did a good job of staying on top of that, and all the players also did an awesome job of responding to that.
Would you mind kind of giving us an idea of what life was like in Charlotte at the beginning of the lockdown? Because nationally, I think for the most part, everybody was kind of on the same page. Stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. At what point were you able to or are encouraged to be able to, you know, get out, do some things, maybe out at the park, or maybe to get some of those exercises in to at least hang on to as much match fitness as you could outdoors or maybe in smaller groups?
Yeah, for us, the team kind of, you know, they didn't obligate us to do anything. They told us to stay fit. They provided us with the workouts and everything. You know, for me, the timeline was, you know, that first week, it was like, okay, we got to stay in the house. We got to do everything right, you know. Then after a little bit, then you kind of said, okay, maybe we can train a small group. So we would get with a couple of the guys out in the field and train a little bit. And we did that maybe for a couple of times, and then we're like, okay, everyone's got to quarantine. Everyone's got to stay at home. We've got to get through this. So we went back to kind of, you know, no one doing anything, just training on your own, going running. And then as soon as the USL allowed us to do, like, small group trainings, everyone was there. You know, we had probably just a couple guys that were still afraid, which, I, you know, we completely understand and that kept their distance. But the majority of the team was out there working in small groups. And, you know, we had to stay apart from each other for a while. And then they gave us the green light this week to have full team training, which has been amazing. It's like when you lose a toy that you absolutely love and you find it randomly, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, can you talk a little bit about the team dynamic? I mean, you've played for several years in USL. You have MLS experience. You know what it takes to be a professional. And for some of these guys, maybe it's their first really professional opportunity. Can you talk about the leadership amongst the team? And, you know, how was the dynamic of keeping everybody motivated, keeping everybody upbeat when you guys were revved up, ready to go? You got your first match, you got out there, you got your 3 points, and then all of a sudden life just comes to a screeching halt. Can you talk about what leadership meant during that downtime?
Yeah, honestly, I think to be honest with us, it was more like, hey, do what you got to do to feel good, to stay, you know, healthy and mentally also healthy, you know, because that's a big thing that maybe plays into more than you think about. You know, physically, you're going to take a toll, but mentally, it's extremely important to stay sharp, you know, to be happy, to kind of, you know, not get down, not get depressed. So, you know, from us, during that time, it was kind of like, you know, stay, do what you got to do. Don't worry about anything with the team so far, you know, stay in shape, do everything that you have to do. But, you know, once the training started, and especially this week, you know, you just have to take it to another level. You have to push yourself harder than you ever had before, because you have to gain all that back. You have to make sure you're ready to go. We're not going to have a full preseason where we have 4 or 5 games. We're going to, you know, they're going to let the dogs out, basically. And we're going to go out there and, you know, the team that actually did the most during the off time is going to be at an advantage. And I think, you know, throughout practice, we push each other. We're not friends during practice, you know. We're out there to compete and to make each other better. And you know, if I felt like the group was out there, you know, being nice to each other, and, you know, it was kind of, I kind of talked to one of the coaches today during our training, and I'm like, man, everyone is complaining, everyone's getting after each other. And I said, I love that, you know. If no one was complaining, if no one is getting after each other, then I'll be really worried. So for me, that's good signs, you know. The leadership and the work starts now.
Memphis 901 FC head coach Tim Mulqueen's a friend of the podcast and a frequent guest, and he once said that the USL Championship is a man's game. Would you say that that's a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, you gotta be. You don't get all the little, you know, golden plate kind of things. You know, so you gotta work for everything, and you gotta make sacrifices outside of soccer. And you know, you see that in the field with the passion and the love and, you know, the quality of the players and the teams.
So let's talk about the end of 2019. You guys won 4 on the bounce. Really good team last year, playoff team. You personally had a great professional season, 7 goals, 9 assists, and you got, so not only could you score the goals, but you could set them up. You had Dominic Oduro last year. Dominic goes away, but you've got Dane Kelly. Can you talk about how the team looks heading into the rest of this season? I would suspect you guys have to feel pretty confident with the hand that you've been dealt for 2020.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, we don't feel confident because we think we're in a easy group, you know. I think we're actually in a tough group and a good group that you have to be on every game, you know. And with maybe schedules now being tighter and having to play games, you know, every 3 days, you're going to need not only to be on every game, but to have a deep squad. And, you know, Memphis, when we went to play last year, and I think it was 2 games before the last one, the fans, the atmosphere they created was amazing. It was so much fun to just be in that stadium, you know. Then this year, they have an awesome team. And you look at Birmingham, a team that made it to playoffs, that has also a really good team, especially at home. We really struggled when we went down there. And then obviously NCSC, who's always been strong, is a club that, you know exactly what you're going to get from them. But because they, you know exactly, it's hard to beat those kind of clubs because they're all on the same page. So I think that I'm really excited to be in a group that we're going to have to play our best every single game. And if you don't, you're going to see teams being punished for it. So, you know, last year, the last 4 games were very encouraging for all of us because, you know, we kind of got to find out a lot, you know. For me, I was playing those last 4 games. I was playing deeper in the midfield, which helped the team a lot and kind of I learned a lot myself from being in a different position, and, you know, it was really fun. So it's just about adjusting. It's just about, you know, getting it done in the field. No matter the formation, no matter the players, no matter who you have, you got to have everyone working.
It's like a tale of two seasons. Enzo Martinez joining us from Charlotte Independence. I would suspect the mindset going in is of more urgency because you come in March, you're preparing yourself for a marathon, but now with one game under your belt and just 15 to go, I guess Coach Jeffries has to prepare you guys for a sprint.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's you could not have described it any better. You go from a marathon to a sprint, and you have to be on. You have to be ready to go. You can't take any breaks. You can't have bad days, because bad days are going to cost you a lot in this year's the way the season is. You know, I just think that everyone is on the same boat. Everyone is in the same situation, and a lot of the decisions that were made during the off season or during the quarantine time are going to pay off for those teams.
You know, I'm not going to ask you too much about the schedule or any of the other items that go along with, you know, the situation of how open the stadiums will get to be and whatever, because really, let's be honest, as we record this day to day, those things could change. But I do want to, So what I do want to ask you is, are you looking forward? Is it going to be interesting to maybe take a shot against former teammate Tim Howard?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, you know, not only a former teammate, but, you know, a guy who's one of the greatest players to have ever come out of this country, you know. So it's just it's going to be fun to play against him. It's going to be fun to just see him, say hello to him again. And I'm really, really excited for that.
How was it to be a teammate of his with Colorado Rapids? I could never imagine him not being 100% intense on the pitch at all times.
Oh yeah, that's exactly how he is. You know, on the pitch, I, you know, I'm kind of the same way in relations to outside of soccer. You know, I like to be the best human possible. I'm kind. I'm not. But and once you get to the game, you know, it's a different mindset. You're going to war. You're not there to make friends. You're there to win a game and do whatever it takes. So Tim is like that exactly in the field. You know, he's there to win games, and I really enjoy to see that mentality that he brought to games. I love playing with players like that.
I was told by another North Carolina alum, Kerry Talley, who played in MLS and won the cup, and of course you went to UNC. I heard that the Tar Heel players are amongst the smartest out there. So tell me something new that you learned, or maybe something you learned to cook or do during the downtime.
During the downtime, I learned to make a patio. That was my biggest project. I extended a patio. I had zero knowledge of all that. My wife's dad is an engineer, so I said, you tell me what to do. You do all the, you know, the smart thinking. I'll do the labor, the hard work. And that's what I did during this time. And it was really cool to kind of take on that project with him and learn, you know, about what some people do that, you know, it's a lot of hard work to wake up every day and go work in the heat for 10 hours a day.
So where'd you put the patio? Did you put it in your backyard or someone else's?
Yeah, in my backyard. And I just finished it about a week ago. So it's been awesome.
So I guess measure twice and pour just once. Don't screw it up.
Right. It's easy. You know, at the beginning of the whole project, you think, I can do this. It's going to be this way. You never, you know, foresee what it actually takes. And I kind of got a new appreciation for that work.
So a patio in 2020, maybe a pergola in 2021, maybe?
That's great.
All right. Do you have any social media that folks may be able to follow you on? I know at Independence is Charlotte Independence. Is there any way folks can follow you on social media, or are you just kind of laying low and getting ready for the sprint?
Yeah, honestly, I do have all the social media, but I have no clue the name of any of them, to be honest. I think probably the one that I use the most is Instagram, and probably my last post was a couple months ago. Yeah. You know, I get on it, but I don't post a lot, but I really enjoy, you know, to keep up with people and things like that. So, honestly, to be honest, you can maybe you can look after when all this is done, but I could not tell you off the top of my head right now.
I got you. Enzo, well, we wish you a very safe, healthy, and productive 2020. Now, not too much when you come to Memphis, but, you know, if you don't want to take any shots, that would be fine, but we do wish you a very productive 2020. We thank you for being so generous with your time. We are thrilled that you are back. We are thrilled that the USL Championship is back, and hopefully we'll get another chance to talk to you really, really soon. Best of luck here in this 15-match sprint toward the USL Championship playoffs.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for all you're doing for the game.
One of the really nice guys in the game, Enzo Martinez, definitely worth a follow. You can catch him at Twitter at Enzo_Martinez90. That's on Twitter. And on Instagram, follow him at EnzoMartinez19. And, of course, Charlotte Independence at Independence and the USL Championship at USL Championship. Stick around, because coming up, Brody Scott joins me. We've got world soccer news right here. It'll be the second half of My Three Subs.
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
It's that time of year. I know school is coming up, and some folks, even with the COVID-19 issues that we have across the country, folks are still moving because they've got to move with their jobs. And I can help you with that move. I'm a licensed real estate agent here in Tennessee and in Mississippi. You can catch me at timvanhorn.com. I'm with Cry Like Realtors. My office phone number is 901-756-8900. Now that I've got all that official stuff out of the way, let me tell you about what I can do for you. If you're looking for a home, whether it's around the corner or around the world, let me help you with my network of accredited real estate agents to help you make your move as seamless as possible. Anywhere from getting the best price for the home that you've got to sell to negotiating repairs and other significant things that are involved in the move, whether it's finding you a mover or if it's finding you some new appliances at a discount, I can do all that. It's called turnkey service, and it's what every client gets with me. I'm Tim Van Horn, and you can catch me at timvanhorn.com. You can do a personalized search there. That's right. You can find the home that is just right for you in any city across the country. Or you can give me a call on my cell, 901-262-5000. Yes, that is my cell phone number. It's not a gag. I really have a cool cell phone number, 901-262-5000. Cry Like Realtors in Memphis, Tennessee, 901-756-8900. And catch me online at timvanhorn.com.
There's the whistle. Go, go, go! Second half, My Three Subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
Wow. We're just hours as we record this from the kickoff from MLS is back, and we've had a team that's had to pull out because of a number of coronavirus positives.
Brody. MLS is back, asterisks.
Yes. An asterisk is almost all of us.
Almost all of us, because, yeah, FC Dallas pulling out, and I don't blame them. You can't blame them, really.
A source says that 10 positive tests have come back within 48 hours of the start of the entire tournament. The question is, did all this happen prior to the bubble? Looks like probably so.
Yeah, so there were 6 positive tests coming into the bubble. Then there were a couple other tests done, and I guess the total ended up being 10. And then I think they just said, you know what? We're down 10 people. That's a lot.
FC Dallas has depth thanks to their academy, so they could have been okay with maybe 5 or 6. But once you lose about 10, I think you start looking at the under 15s. And you got to start pulling in the kids that maybe have to get mom's permission to be there.
You got a minivan pulling up.
With juice boxes. Right. So FC Dallas is out there having to reformat some of that stuff. There is another big star that's going to be missing as well. LAFC is going to be missing their heartbeat.
And because of the bubble. And I think if there were a little bit more lax leniency, regarding this bubble, I think we would have Carlos Vela in the MLS's back. The reason why we don't, though, quite simple. His wife is pregnant.
Can't blame the guy.
No, cannot. Not even a little bit. And he's looking at the timeline going, okay, her due date is in the middle of this thing. She goes into labor. I'm not there. I'm dead.
Yeah. You know, you miss a sitter. The coach eventually forgives you. You right. miss a birth.
You know.
Maybe not so much.
Carlos Vela played the long game here.
Yeah, and it was a smart play by him. I think LAFC still has plenty of firepower, and it looks like they're still going to be challenging for the championship out of the West. Yeah. And there's a lot to play for in this month-long tournament. All of the teams will basically be looking at Wednesday, because Orlando and Miami will play, I guess, the first. I don't know if they're going to call that the Grapefruit Derby or what it's going to be. But, you know, Orlando versus Miami
FC. Don't start giving them ideas, Tim. This is the same organization that says we're back as the tag. So
it's still better than MLS back as a title, though.
True.
The Grapefruit Derby. Nashville and Chicago will play the late match. So we'll get a chance to see, of course, Nashville SC, which is just up the road from our studio. But also, maybe we'll get an appearance by former Memphis 901 FC star Elliot Collier.
This will be exciting because, you know, we know what Collier can bring to the pitch. If he does this in the MLS, which I know he will, we saw it in the preseason with him, this could be very exciting for our 901ers.
I want to talk about an odd story, and this maybe goes to more of the training table rather than the pitch. I don't know if you have seen this story about Jake Gleason of the Portland Timbers. Oh, remember him?
Yes, yes. And boy, this is getting a little TMZ.
Yeah. Now, the ex-goalkeeper for the Portland Timbers is now seeking over $10 million. This is according to a report from ESPN FC and other sources. He's seeking over $10 million in economic and non-economic damages in a medical malpractice lawsuit against two of the team's club doctors. He did this just a couple of days ago. He filed suit.
I don't understand. So his belief is that when he got injured, he wasn't treated right by the training staff?
This sounds pretty disgusting. Listen to this story, Brody.
Oh boy.
Suit alleges in part that the defendants were negligent in using plates. They were putting metal plates into his shins that weren't properly sterilized before his August 2018 surgery.
Oh, boy.
It also contends that there was a, quote, breach of sterility at the Oregon Outpatient Surgery Center that wasn't disclosed to Gleason. They also allege that the doctor selected, quote, aggressive and risky procedures for Gleason without trying more conservative therapies first. And on top of that, they said there was, quote, no clear orthopedic necessity to implant the devices. So now Gleason's 30, he's retired, and as you know, goalkeepers can go even up to around 40, you know, into their 40s.
Tim Howard.
Hey, Tim Howard as an example, you know, the older the keepers get, typically the wiser and better that they get. No, I wouldn't look at me. It takes me two trips to haul ass, but that's another story.
Well, this is interesting because, you know, what are they trying to do? Turn him into, like, Wolverine? You know what I mean? Like, you're putting titanium because he didn't, what, you were saving the guy a couple bucks in the long run for shin guards?
Perhaps that, or perhaps wanted an extra 15 yards on goal kicks. I don't know. But Gleason developed an infection in his right leg. He underwent another surgery that was supposed to remove the plate in that leg, only for the doctors, once they cut him open, opted to leave it in. With the infection recurring, the decision was made eventually to remove the plate, but then an infection in his left leg developed, and then that plate was removed. After finding new doctors, Gleason was diagnosed with necrosis and osteomyelitis. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I know you know about the medical terms. They diagnosed that both of his shins, which meant portions of the bone became infected and died.
Yeah, you have to remove it. Necrosis, that means death. And that's not good. The guy can't walk.
Well, let's move from death to rebirth, and I'm talking about USL Championship play.
Yes.
It is set to resume with several matches coming up on Saturday, July 11th. Oddly enough, they're playing on 7-11, but Las Vegas, with their new coach Frank Yollop, is not playing that day, as far as I can tell on the schedule. Well, they've had a couple of games, I think, already.
Okay, right.
So
they have to do the...
They have to wait a little bit longer. I know they've had at least one game. Bottom line is every team will end up having played 16 total matches. So if you've played one or two prior to the shutdown, you will play the difference.
Right.
Now, they've divided into eight groups this entire league. So the top two in each will go to a 16-team playoff.
Yes.
And with in-group play, you'll play each opponent four times, and then the rest of the matches will be outside of your group. Plus, of course, just as we get the trademark officially approved by the government for my 3 subs. They changed the damn game to 5 subs.
Stupid.
I mean, talk about bad luck.
Goodness gracious. But, you know, it still kind of works.
It does. It's
because you only have 3 opportunities to sub,
right?
You know, 5 people. So.
Right. And we're going to follow up with the grumpy ref because I believe in addition to the 3 substitution opportunities to make those 5 subs, I believe if you make a substitution at halftime, that does not count as one of the 3.
Oh.
Because it doesn't. Dead time. Yeah. Yeah. But we'll follow up with the grumpy ref and get a ruling on that. Local club Memphis 901 FC is in Group G.
I like this.
With Enzo Martinez's Charlotte Independence, yep, as well as North Carolina FC, who's coached by Dave Sarakin, the former interim men's head coach for the U.S. national team, and of course, new area rival Birmingham Legion.
We talked about this last week. I like this group. It's breeding that, we'll just say, contempt for Birmingham a little bit better, a little bit harder, because we are going to see them, twice now. So I think a little bit more frequency is going to breed that rivalry.
If you're wondering how things ended up in 2019, North Carolina finished 7th in the East. Birmingham snuck into the playoffs, 10th place in the East. Charlotte, 13th. Memphis, 15th. But we've seen Charlotte already pick up a win. Mm-hmm. We've seen Memphis look good in its first outing. I think North Carolina and Birmingham will both be solid. By the way, Memphis 901 FC will start their restart. It's a weird sentence.
Restart the start.
On ESPN2, Wednesday, July 15th, at Birmingham Legion. Then they'll go on the road to Atlanta United 2 before they eventually come back at home and face Charlotte Independence.
On the 23rd, It should be pretty exciting, of course. Everybody's wondering about fans, Tim. Will we have fans in the stands?
Crowds are going to vary per locale. Okay. Right now in Memphis, I think per the county regulations, no fans, but the key phrase is for now.
For now.
That could change. You got several weeks, you got a couple months where maybe there's some restrictions that could be loosened, but for now, no fans. But I know many of the teams have had the opportunity to partner up with ESPN Plus as well as the other ESPN family, and plus a lot of the stations perhaps have a local affiliation where they can have some of those games broadcast. And that's the situation in Memphis with CW 30 will carry some of the matches that ESPN Plus maybe doesn't get around to.
The entire restart will be on the ESPN networks. So if you have ESPN Plus, ESPN 2, ESPN, the regular, and the Ocho, I think, is also going to carry some matches. I'm pretty sure.
After a little bit of dodgeball, I suspect. Dodgeball archives. Can't socially distance in dodgeball.
Nope. No. There is no. But speaking of tournaments, we got to move on to the NWSL.
Yeah, the Challenge Cup is in full swing, the month-long tournament on the other side of the country in Utah. All 8 teams have at least 1 point right now. North Carolina Courage, they're way out in front of everyone else right now. And don't forget, you can catch matches every few days for free with the trial on CBS All Access. We want to send a shout-out, outstanding work by Mike Watts, who's appeared on our program. And they've got a great crew out there covering the action.
Does not miss a beat. Like, you almost like, what's this? What's he on?
He wakes up, drinks coffee, has breakfast, does charts for the match.
Eats a soccer ball.
Does charts for the next day's match.
Right.
Eats another soccer ball.
Right.
Comes back, does the match, falls asleep, and then just repeats the next day.
Right.
But the good thing about Mike, and I have a lot of respect for him, is if you listen to him, you can't tell that he's not particularly one club's announcer.
No.
He knows both teams very well.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, this guy just does not miss a beat, and gosh, such a nice man, too.
Although I don't think we can get out of the country on plane, we can at least in our minds get over to England now and talk a little international.
Right. We are not allowed in England.
So I think Liverpool has their Lake Havasu on. They are champions of the Premier League. It's exactly what they wanted and what they've been hoping for 3 decades. They've got it.
And now they're done.
Now they're pretty much done. They're not having to deal so much, you know, with Champions League glory right now. They're not having to deal with anything else. So what we're seeing is, I think, Liverpool at 80% strength.
Yeah, they hung up the boots, man. I think the first game they won since was this past weekend.
Yes.
Everybody can play. They almost lost to Man City 5-0, you know, so there's that.
It was not a pretty sight. A couple of their first matches, they've seemed to have found a little bit of their footing, and I think Jurgen Klopp's motivation is getting some of those guys that are 12th through 18, 19 to get into the matches and try to earn their place for next season, because there will be maybe some tweaks heading into next year. So Liverpool has won. They're 20-plus points ahead of Manchester City at this point. Really not much else to play for other than not getting hurt.
Yes.
And preparing to see what you have for next season. Now, we've got some questions that we can throw out there. They're very rhetorical questions. And the first one starts with Manchester City. Phil Foden, the youngster, has looked great for Manchester City. Right. Is he the replacement for David Silva? And I ask this because he has been very productive in that role, but Pep does not seem 100% committed to him just yet.
Yeah, I don't know where he goes with this. You know, David Silva is fantastic, you know, so I don't know where you go with this.
If Manchester City brings in someone in Foden's position, at that point, I think Foden's agent's got to go, okay, we got to get you out of here.
And I think he's going to have options. He's going to have the options. So I don't think you need to make a decision right away. Let it play out. You see what happens, you know.
Let the money come to you.
Right.
Just below them in the table, or maybe just above, depending on how FIFA fair play or UEFA fair play rules shake out for Manchester City.
Right.
Sitting in third right now is Leicester City. They seem to have improved on their game over the weekend, but they really stumbled, not just out of the box, but even heading into the shutdown. They were losing their stride. Can they hang on to third? Can they even hang on to fourth?
I don't think so.
You have two teams on the ascendancy that are going to be pushing to knock Leicester City down at least a peg or two. And then here's a question I know you've been dying to be in a position to answer. Is Christian Pulisic Chelsea's best player right now?
Yes. One word answer, yes. But there's a caveat to that answer, yes. And that is because the entire squad around Chelsea has started to believe in that Olivier Giroud and Christian Pulisic and the duo that is going to score. And then this is the back four that's going to, you know, protect all odds, against all odds, and everything like that. I think right now what you have at Chelsea is a club that actually believes in itself and believes in its structure and it believes in its team, believes in its manager, which is, I think, at the beginning you saw a little bit of, and then I guess through injury you just saw like this, I don't know, a complete, vacation from that.
And maybe there's someone above our pay grade that can answer this better, but at the beginning, I saw Frank Lampard leaning on his Derby County loanees that he brought back to Chelsea, Mason Mount, Tammy Abrahams, rather than Pulisic.
This U.S. kid.
He went with his known quantities, but Pulisic, at times, I scratch my head and wonder if he is American, because I see him do some things that normally you won't see American players do, and that is take on a player as the first option rather than dump it off. And he will go at players, and he's rewarded himself and Chelsea by getting a goal.
Yeah.
He's gotten an assist, and he also was the cause for a penalty over the weekend as well, because he's taking on players directly. He's not afraid to go directly at defenders and try to make something happen, and he doesn't get discouraged when it doesn't happen the first or second time.
I was just about to say, he keeps on that pedal to the metal mentality when he's up there, and I think that is something that, quite honestly, we as American clubs and everything like that have very, very, very sorely lacked.
Here's a general question for you, and I'm going to use two different adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
Is Manchester United good right now, or are they just simply better?
I think what it is you had this time during the break to mull out a lot of, I won't say problems, issues that the club might have had. The inconsistency with Man U, you just don't see it right now. And what is the difference? Why are they not so inconsistent like we saw in the first half before the break? Honestly, I think their communication is so much better now.
May I add two more words?
Sure.
Bruno Fernandes.
That too.
He's a heck of a player, man.
Man, that too. It is really interesting because he doesn't wear that, captain's badge, but you see a lot of qualities to bring together that team. He's a, like a little dab of glue.
He makes players better around him.
That's what I'm saying. He's got that little dab of glue with him.
You take that, and if you can get Pogba to add a dab of glue and make players better around him as well,
yeah,
that can set up an extremely good nucleus in the middle of the pitch.
Watch out.
In the attacking mode for Manchester United. I still think they are a work in progress, but they are better. I believe if I'm a Manchester United fan, I'm more optimistic, much more optimistic than I was a year ago.
This club remains the same next season without any changes. It is what it is now. I think you're looking at a 2-3 spot. If they make a few changes, get a little better in certain areas, obviously the weak spots that you see them in, you're looking at a 1-2 possible, you know, and that's a big deal.
They're picking up points from wins where they were getting draws before, and I think that has helped them a bit. But I believe my answer, if I were to throw it out there, is they're getting better. I don't know if they're good yet. Yeah. They may be on that outside of a Champions League spot. They may be able to grab that 3-4. I don't know if they're a 2 yet. But let's not forget Man City, because even if for some reason they get a ban from Champions League, that just means they'll have all the more reason to win the Premier League again.
Right.
So they'll have some motivation. But it's interesting to have Manchester United back in the discussion. Let's take a parachute and go down toward the bottom of the table and look at last week. West Ham, did they save their season with the win against Chelsea and the winnable match that ended up with a draw against Newcastle? 4 points in 2 matches for David Moyes.
Should have won that Newcastle match. And then I think the answer would have been yes. I think they have secured their spot outside of relegation right now. And I think that...
Is that taking into account what the rest of their schedule looks like?
Yeah, obviously. You know, you start looking ahead a couple weeks down, and you're like, okay, that might be a loss. I think they got Liverpool there at the end. It's somewhere down there.
The disadvantage that Aston Villa has is that they don't have to play... They don't get to play Aston Villa.
Right.
And because that would be 3 points.
And I think Aston Villa's problem is Aston Villa. So, West Ham, that's just nothing but positive for West Ham.
Yeah. So West Ham has bought themselves at least a margin for error if they don't mess it up.
If they don't Aston Villa it.
Yeah. Let's talk about Aston Villa. Is it them or Bournemouth? Can either one of them catch Watford and get out of the dumpster?
No. Aston Villa's gone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just the way that they have consistently looked, and it's not Premier League level. It might be good enough for Champions League, but I feel so bad for Watford. I really do. They just black cloud, and I think this year, though, they can finally get out of there and be okay.
Can I speak positively about Jack Grealish, though? Here's a guy that's probably going to go elsewhere for a lot of money, but he's still drawing fouls. I don't think he has quite given up yet, or at least he has not taken the foot off the gas pedal.
I think what he's doing is he's looking at his own salvation, that he can get out of here if he still shows heart.
Yeah.
And that's his only saving grace right now.
Yeah.
And it ain't that club.
And still, it's interesting to think that Pepe Reina's on that roster.
I know.
At Aston Villa.
I know.
That's so odd. All right, let's move on to the championship. It's Leeds and West Brom's to lose regarding promotion. They're 1-2, and they've got a few points ahead of the rest of the pack. There are essentially 8 clubs playing for the 4 playoff spots to take that 3rd promotion slot. In the meantime, if you look toward the bottom, just a quick note, here's a familiar name, Middlesbrough. Remember them? They were in the Premier League for quite some time. Barnsley and Luton Town are looking pretty vulnerable. They may make the drop down to League One. Have you watched any of the League One semis on ESPN Plus? It's been fun.
I watched the replay of one of the matches, and it was actually surprisingly good. I was like, oh, this is fun.
The finishing has a little left to be desired, but the excitement is there.
They run out of gas quick.
They do. Oxford United will be playing Wycombe Wanderers next week to earn promotion to the championship. As we look down to League Two, that league ended play back in March. They simply decided we're going to play it off of a weighted points per game. Swindon, Crewe Alexandra, and Plymouth Argyle all getting promoted to League One. So let's go over to La Liga. There are 4 matches to go, and what was razor thin, now we're starting to see maybe a little bit of daylight.
The cream is rising to the top.
Yeah, and is it going to be blue blue and red, or is it going to be white ruling Spain?
I think, Real Madrid is pretty good.
So it's going to be the Blancos.
It's the
then.
Blancos.
Yeah. They're 4 points clear with four matches to go.
Yeah.
Plus, they own head-to-head with a win and a draw over Barcelona, which in La Liga is going to be your tiebreaker to determine the champion. So they can still drop 4 points and be champions of Spain.
Which I don't think they do, by the way.
Really, all they got to do right now is tit for tat, and they can run out
just
the schedule.
Just draw them out. You're fine.
Yeah. Serie A, 8 matches to go, so still plenty of time to play catch-up, but there is a bigger gap as Cristiano Ronaldo and Juventus sit high atop the Italian perch.
Yeah, Juventus 7 clear of Lazio. So, they're 11 up on Inter. I think they're safe at this point.
I would suspect so. While a lot of other guys at age 35 are winding down playing in the Emirates or in China or maybe in MLS, you've got Ronaldo scoring, 20-some-odd goals in 20-some-odd matches.
Taking him, too. It's kind of, you're just giving it to him. Come on.
Yeah, it's incredible. Bundesliga, of course, Bayern Munich long settled that they were going to be the champions with a 13-point final total over Dortmund, 16 over Leipzig, 17 over Mönchengladbach. But what's interesting, there was a U.S. twist to the promotion relegation playoff, and this is an interesting setup. If you've never heard of this, guys, in the Bundesliga and the second division of German soccer, there is a playoff where there's promotion and relegation. Like the two worst teams automatically get dropped out of, but the third, I believe it's the third worst team, then plays a playoff team from the division below in a two-legged affair. If the second division team wins out that two-legged affair, they move up. That Bundesliga team moves down.
Ooh.
But in this case, thanks to away goals, Josh Sargent's Werder Bremen avoid relegation by drawing second division Heidenheim 2-2 as they get that 2-2 draw on the road, staying.
You're welcome.
In the Bundesliga. In fact, late in the match, it was Josh Sargent's last touch, which deflected off a Heidenheim player to secure that second goal. Yeah. And of course, you move through on away goals. Yeah. So Heidenheim, we may say Heidi to them, but now we say Auf Wiedersehen. Maybe
German.
Maybe next Yara. Ja oder nein? Champions League. Let's give you just a quick recap. The draw for the quarterfinals comes up this Friday, the 10th of July. Is it the 10th of July? Yeah, it'll be the 10th of July. The quarterfinal matches will be on August 7th and the 8th. We know for sure that Atalanta, Atletico, Red Bull Leipzig, and PSG are in. There's still some affairs to be settled between Chelsea and Bayern, Napoli and Barca, Real Madrid and Man City, and Lyon and Juventus, which is interesting because two of the clubs, France stopped their league.
Yeah, France is done.
So I don't know if Lyon and PSG are just kind of practicing off on their own while the rest of the country stands down.
What happens?
They'll play. There's too much money involved. They'll show up. The rest of this tournament, by the way, once they get to the quarterfinals, is going to be a single knockout game.
Oof.
And all of the matches all the way through the final will take place in Lisbon, Portugal. The final, now I mentioned the quarter starts 7th and the 8th. The final will be just 16 days later on August 23rd.
Goodness gracious.
But if you're playing one match at a time rather than a home and home,
yeah, but you have a bad day. We talked to I don't know how many coaches and players and everything like that. You have a bad day, it's over, and you're like, I'm so much better than that.
That's the way it goes in 2020.
It is.
Man, so we got more on My Three Subs coming up.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave, so we don't worry about getting sued for using music without permission, and we know for sure that the artists who made it, well, they're getting paid, and that's always a great thing. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines. We used to have to piecemeal all that stuff, and it took hours. Believe me, it took hours. It cost hundreds of dollars every month, and we had to have all these different accounts to really get the podcast to you. Well, that's all changed with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive. You're going to scratch your head, and you may even have to scratch your ears when you hear this. It's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
Big thanks again to Enzo Martinez and the Charlotte Independents. Terrific interview. We want to wish him the best of luck. And as I mentioned, except when you're playing Memphis, maybe not take a shot then. You know, we know you had a prolific 2019.
Pull up a little bit there.
You know, pump the brakes just a little bit. Yeah. But a sincere thanks to them. And we're looking forward to the USL Championship action as well as all of the other action around the world coming up. If you want to check us out, we got full episodes loaded to the gills on our official website.
That's right, mythreesubspodcast.com. You can also shoot us a message on our social media handles, Facebook and Twitter. We are at My Three Subs Podcast. And then on Instagram, we are at My Three Subs Soccer Pod.
That's right. And you can send us an email, hopefully a happy one, at mythreesubspodcast@gmail.com. For Brody Scott, I'm Tim Van Horn. Stay safe. We'll catch you around next time on My Three Subs.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey.